from your home for radio silence and getting demoted to not live shows anymore. Just kidding.
No.
This is you from the bleachers. I'm Eric.
I'm Aaron.
Hi, guy.
Hi. Had to bring it up, didn't you?
I couldn't help it. I'm just glad that somebody could hear us talking about this. Yeah, man.
Not yet, because
that's fair.
We're recording.
We are recording. I'm happy to do it. It's nice to sit down and talk sports with my buddy.
It's 65 degrees.
Wednesday. It's a nice Wednesday. It's been nice and springy all weekend. It's nice to talk some sports
and actually be heard.
It was kind of fun. Last week we were sitting down live on a Friday morning, and man, was it nice.
It was a good show too.
We were hammering that show. Like, we were solving problems, we were talking food, we were being goofy, having a nice old time. And then all of a sudden we both looked up and saw
Terry O'Connor.
Yep, knocking at the door because we forgot to push
two buttons.
That's true. They don't let me push buttons.
We'd be doing that a lot more often. I forgot to push two buttons that made our mics hot, as they say in the business, to go live over the air.
So I do appreciate anybody who stuck through about 13 minutes of real radio silence last.
If you want a good laugh, listen to the podcast, because I just recorded it and I stopped it after we got the buttons and everything went go, and then I just said, you know what, I'm not going to edit that part out, and then you can hear us talking about what, and a big pause, and
the last chunk of the show, I think last week, kind of went it didn't go downhill, because you know,
we just condensed everything into the 12 minutes that we had remaining.
But yeah, it turns out it was fine. It was cool. I look forward to getting live on the air when we can fit that in again.
Worse stuff has happened here.
Yeah. We could have accidentally gone live before Ed got in the middle of somebody else's show.
Could have gone on a rant.
They could have heard me swearing about Luke Fickle. Yeah, that
swearing
happens.
Has happened.
I hear the name Doc Rivers, and I do tend to get a little sweary about things. So no, not this week, buddy.
You're not going to talk about Doc Rivers? You want to go there?
Why are we doing, man? I mean, we could briefly.
Let me just say this.
Yeah.
With the Bucks,
sure. Please.
Do you have any optimism what they're going to be like next year? Because there's two games I think remaining.
We're at two or three. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't think Giannis is sitting or playing now. I think they sat him again.
They've been. Okay, fine. We will talk about the Brewers. No, you're right.
You know, because at some point after Giannis retires, they will bring him back and be a part of that franchise.
Absolutely. He's going to get a statue. He's going to get his jersey retired. He will have his jersey retired up there with Kareem.
I think at some point, because he's the guy. I mean, he's the one that built Pfizer for him.
Absolutely.
That whole area. Yes. He built that. He'll be a minority owner someday.
I would be fine with him being, you know, team president. A lot of former NBA players have found that role.
Yeah.
After their career is done. Yes. I mean, Giannis is he's the number one player in this long franchise's history, but this has been a lost season for the Bucks.
I mean, he's only played how many games?
Not enough.
Right.
I mean, not enough. Not only did the Bucks are going to finish well out of the playoffs this year.
Well,
they're going to 11th, maybe 12th. Not terrible where they're going to get a top three pick, which would help your franchise, and not in the playoffs,
right,
which actually feels good to watch. So it is, by all definitions, a lost season for the Bucks. I mean, if you're a fan of Ryan Rollins, if you're a fan of some specific player on the Bucks, maybe it's fun to have watched it.
Giannis,
I went
two
to a
brothers.
Couple. Went to a couple. Yeah, right. If I went to a couple of games, they lost both of them. The energy is not there. It didn't feel like I was watching a team that was
with Dame Lillard or anything.
Yeah,
like that.
None of it. It was just empty. It didn't feel like a good season.
Because everybody knows. I think at this point it's a foregone conclusion. He's gone.
Yes. Yeah.
It's just who's going to get him.
How they haven't gotten a trade out of him yet. He originally said that the only team he would be traded to when they were talking with the ownership was the Knicks.
But he never really publicly said.
He's publicly said the right things.
Yeah,
consistently.
He's never said. I think now it's the old Batman thing. You live long enough
to become the villain.
And that he's becoming kind of the villain.
Yes, because as much as they want to keep these talks secretive, right? Like, he didn't want it to get out that he requested a trade, but he clearly did want it to get out, because the only people who can put that information out would be his representatives and the team. It doesn't help the team to come out and say the only team that he'll get traded to is the Knicks.
Right.
You want to be able to trade him to 30 teams. You want to field 30 offers for this guy, not one.
But I just kind of feel bad. I mean, he's becoming – people are, like, really – spiting him. I mean, it's just kind of, come on, guys.
You know,
he gave you a world championship.
It's hard to, because also when he has played this year, they have not won.
Right.
It is not like he's coming out there like Michael Jordan, every time he plays, he dominates and they win games.
He's been viewed as the golden boy.
And rightfully so.
Really? Because he wanted, he wanted a different coach. That happened.
Yeah.
And then that went downhill.
He wanted two different point guards.
Yep, he wanted
that
people.
Went downhill.
You know, he's not LeBron in that sense, but he's been calling some shots, I think, or at least going, hey, this is what I want. You know?
You're absolutely right. Could say he's earned it, but also,
and his salary.
The salary has nothing to do with him.
Well,
like, once you are in the NBA, once you've become a first teamer, your next contract is going to be a max contract.
Right.
He's earned his $60 million. Then it seems like a ton of money, of course, but he's amongst the top three highest paid players in the league.
Right.
Steph Curry is making more. He should be. He's a multi-time champion.
LeBron?
LeBron, I think, is making more. Anthony Davis, I think, is on that list. But yeah, he's amongst the highest paid players in the league. He's clearly still at the top of his game.
What I'm saying, though, is the things that he's requested, mm-hmm. and the actions that he's really supported and wanted.
Sure, yeah,
has led you to this point of that team.
That is a fact. Yes,
you know. So, I mean, for him to be the good guy or be the bad guy at this point, mm-hmm. it's warranted, I think.
Fair.
So, I think they could have traded him.
Mm-hmm.
The way it sounds, there was at least three teams. My Timberwolves would be one of them.
Yeah,
but they just didn't like it.
And if you're anybody but Anthony Edwards, you make that trade, right? Like, anybody on the Timberwolves except for Anthony Edwards, you trade. You're any team in the league except for trading your 1A superstar, if you're lucky enough to have one, you would trade any combination of things to get a guy like Giannis. Because as a Bucks fan, I've kind of grown, I won't say callous, but like, it doesn't impress me what his numbers are, but when you watch him at full force in a game, he is just a force of nature.
Right.
He will take a team that is good and make them great. He absolutely will. He will take a great team and they will win a championship.
And the team is not just him alone, it's coaching.
Yeah, that's a fact. And GM. The coach and GM have failed the franchise.
Sure.
Absolutely they have. Yeah, I did see a nice, and it made my heart warm, that Doc Rivers was talking about how he misses his grandkids and really wants to spend more time with them in an interview.
Yeah,
at the end of the year. That was kind of laying the groundwork for me to get excited about about Doc Rivers finally stepping down. Unfortunately,
I could see them. I could see maybe ending that relationship if Giannis gets traded, and them going, okay, we're gonna just
start over.
Yep.
Most of the teams that are good in the NBA did start over with a young coach. You have to at some point connect to the young kids, and you have to be able to talk to 20-year-olds about basketball things, and I think Doc Rivers has sort of lost his fastball on that. I don't think that's a tough argument to make.
Right.
Wow, that was a lot of talk about the Bucks. Good. Great.
Are you into any other NBA stuff? I've been kind of following it because Victor Wembanyama.
Victor Wembanyama.
Wembanyama.
I'll tell you what. The NBA, when the number one pick works out in the NBA, man, is it exciting to watch, right? Like, it's LeBron James. It's Anthony Edwards. It's Victor Wembanyama. These guys, yeah, I do follow the NBA. As a sports guy, the playoffs are starting. You know, it's
fun to watch the Lakers just implode.
I don't root for LeBron James.
No,
you know,
anymore.
There was a time when I did, and now there's a time that I don't. And
I'm still rooting for my Timberwolves because they've been in the playoffs the last four seasons.
Playoff Minnesota Timberwolves are a real thing. Playoffs, they step up. They're going to be in the Western Conference Finals. They seem to be about every year.
As long as he's Anthony Edwards is healthy.
Right. Correct. No, you're right.
He's not right now.
I do get into the NBA a little bit. You've got Boston. You got Boston. They won.
Yeah.
It was supposed to be sort of a down year for Boston. They had Jason Tatum out for most of the year.
As soon as he came back, they're clicking on every.
Correct. When you take a champion roster and you add a all-star to that roster, they look really good. They did win the championship. Oklahoma City won the championship last year. It wasn't Boston.
No.
They have the MVP, and they have one of those. They're great to watch. They have a young coach, Chet Holmgren, their young unicorn of a player. They're young 7 foot guys, 7 foot two and like maybe 200 pounds. But he's a scrawny feller, but he can really ball.
Scrawny feller.
He really is. You've got the Clippers in the West because they are an old man's roster playing an old man's game. Charlotte Hornets of all the teams. Yeah, I do like the Charlotte Hornets. They've got LaMelo Ball and a guy for that played at his high school ball that was in Wisconsin Lutheran, I think it was, Con Knipple, which is a super fun name to say. He was a number 4 pick in the draft and has had the best rookie season of any shooting percentage of all time.
Nice.
It is the NBA.
I typically will watch more and follow it in the playoffs.
Yes. Yep. I don't follow the entire NBA season.
It's helped in the last several years that my Timberwolves are actually good.
Correct. Yeah.
So they weren't, I was like, meh.
As well, you should. Yeah. No. The Timberwolves were
laughing.
I mean,
you can relate to that being a Bucks fan prior to.
Yeah, because
Giannis.
Before Giannis came along, the Bucks were a consistent 7 seed, 8 seed, or just missed the playoffs. It seemed like every single year they had Herb Cole as the owner. They did not do a good job running a franchise for a very long time. So when they finally sold that franchise and stepped into the real sports world, it's been great to see. We can talk a little bit more probably next week as far as what's going on in the NBA.
Everything will be set by next weekend, I think.
Yep, so. And there'll be more of a gap in there, I'm sure. It is
Brewers?
Yeah, of course. With baseball season, thankfully, there's always something to talk about because they play 6 games in 7 days.
They're not in first anymore.
They are not in first. They are sitting in second behind
the Reds.
The Reds. The NL Central, once again, looks really, really good. Chicago is consistent. They spend a lot of money. When you have a team in your division that will spend a lot of money, it causes the other teams in that division to have to spend some money too, unless you're the Brewers. But a team like the Reds has done a really good job drafting and bringing guys up. The Pirates, the Pittsburgh Pirates, haven't been relevant in baseball since the early 90s, maybe like in the Barry Bonds era.
It doesn't matter what anybody finishes it, because the Dodgers are the Dodgers again.
I don't want to think about it in that terms.
Yankees.
I want to watch the division race, because I really do think that, kind of like in the football in the NFC North, there was four legit teams for a playoff spot, basically, and then Minnesota. You're right. No, good call. I saw the eye roll, too. Yeah. You're right. No, there wasn't 4 teams in that division. There was 3.
But even though we finished better than
in the NL Central. In the NL Central, the Brewers won 95 games last year. The Cubs made the playoffs. The Reds, I think, made the playoffs, too, last year. I thought they squeezed in as a wild card team. The Pittsburgh Pirates haven't been good forever. They've consistently lost 100 games over and over and over again, but they have now the best pitcher in baseball. And when you have that best player in the sport, no matter what the sport is, you've got a chance. Paul Skeens is their all-star, Cy Young, young superstar, will be the highest paid pitcher in baseball coming up soon.
They made the playoffs in 2015.
Okay, it's been a while. It's been long enough where I didn't know they made the playoffs 10 years ago. So, 10 years ago was a long time.
And they're in the wild card before that. It's been a drought.
They also have the number 1 prospect in baseball. His name's Connor Griffin.
Yes.
He made their opening day roster as a 19-year-old. He was a number 1 pick, number 2, super high pick a couple of years ago, maybe 1 year ago. He signed an extension. He got a 19-year-old with 0 service time, got himself a 9-year contract.
Jesus.
He's their starting shortstop forever. He looks like the real deal.
Wow.
And like I said, in baseball, you've got 11 field. You got one guy's not going to make a huge difference. One guy can't hit, pitch, catch, you know, run the bases, do everything.
Well, unless you're Shohei Ohtani.
Unless you are literally one guy. But the Pirates are, you know, they're putting structure in place at least to make a difference, to be able to at least say we've got the foundation in place.
Sure.
So it's a long season. We're exactly, 12 games today out of 162.
Sure.
The Brewers are in second in the division. They went 3-3 last week.
Yep.
They lost a couple games to the Royals.
Last 10 games, they're 6-4.
Okay. Yep. So. They started out 4-1. It is very early in the year, but not super, super early. It's not early enough to notice things like injuries. Jackson Churio hasn't played yet. Maybe he was in the opener. Andrew Vaughn, their cleanup hitting first baseman, who was kind of a real revelation last year, he hasn't played at all. Those are two guys that you'd like to be able to put at the top of your lineup that are going to make a difference for them. You're having to see guys, you know, you're starting to see the quadruple A, the guys in triple A, the depth pieces have to step up and play. David Hamilton has been really good. He was in the trade with the Red Sox where they gave up Caleb Durbin and they got this Hamilton guy and they got Kyle Harrison, a pitcher. Kyle Harrison has been an ace.
Yeah.
He's their number one at this point in the season. Kyle Harrison was a pitcher who's been traded twice in 3 years, like top line prospect guy, top 100 guy. And he's pitching really, really well for the Brewers. Granted, it's two starts. But you know, you get 25 starts. You only get at most maybe 25, 27 starts in a season. So, you know, he's looking really good. That trade has been nice for the Brewers. The other part of that, there's been some trade pieces that have not done so well. Brandon Sproat was the guy that they picked up from the Mets as part of the Freddie Peralta deal.
Yep.
He made their opening day roster as a starting pitcher. He was their second pitch. I don't think he made it out of the third inning in either start. Gave up a lot of runs. It's early in the year where you give up a couple runs early, get, you know, two innings of work in, your ERA is going to be real, real bad, real, real fast. Brewers have a couple of those guys with some of the guys they've traded for.
Mm.
But again, it's still early. I keep saying it because I get so excited about the Brewers. Like, oh, we're going to...
still early, even halfway through the season.
You've still got a chance. You're saying there's a chance. Aaron Ashby is an interesting pitcher for the Brewers. He was drafted a couple years ago, got hurt. He's been on the roster, kind of a candidate to be traded or a, you know, something that you could package together. Interesting note, the Brewers have had 12 games. Aaron Ashby has appeared in 8 of them, which is a lot of appearances for a pitcher. He's only pitched an inning or two in each of them, but he's on pace to make 109 appearances.
No.
And pitch 120 innings, which for a relief pitcher would most assuredly set some sort of record. So I'm sure that doesn't keep up through the year, but it was interesting to see. He's got 3 wins out of the 8 that they have. What else is happening? Jacob Mizorowski is must-watch TV all of a sudden.
Yeah.
They were on ESPN as the game of the day against the Red Sox the other day, and Jake Mizorowski was your all-star last year. He throws 103 miles an hour.
Holy.
And he struck out a whole bunch. He struck out at least 10 in both of his starts so far. That's been really good to see.
Okay.
Garrett Mitchell's been healthy. That's been fun to watch because he was a first-round pick like 6 years ago, and he's just been hurt and hurt and hurt and hurt and hurt and hasn't played.
Okay.
So this year he can play. Fun thing happened in baseball. We beamed a guy, and he got really, really mad. So, right.
Was that Contreras?
That was... Okay, yeah, please do.
No, I just saw the highlights on... But it's Wilson.
Wilson Contreras brother. Is the brother, I don't know, older or younger brother of Willem Contreras, the Milwaukee Brewers catcher. Wilson Contreras, up until last year, played for the Cardinals.
Okay.
He is the leader actively in being hit by pitches in his career.
Really?
It's an interesting
like
stat.
MLB?
In MLB, active leader in being hit by pitches. He's a catcher. He's right-handed. He really, really, really crowds the plate. Anybody who's played baseball understands that the closer you get to the plate, the more likely you are to be hit by a pitch. His the way he brings his leg up and swings, he's in the strike zone. He's been hit 124 times in his career.
Jeez.
24 of them have been by Milwaukee Brewers pitchers.
Oh. Mm.
6 of those have been by Brandon Woodruff, the player. So that all lines up.
So that's who did it?
That's who did it. Oh. That's how it all sort of lined up, right? Like it all came together in a Red Sox game in like the second inning or so, yeah. Right? Like Brandon Woodruff may or may not have hit him. When you watch the replay, it looks like
didn't they do a replay on that and say it wasn't?
And it was then he got hit another time in the game. He got hit a second time. So he came out real angry. And the scene, of course, it's his brother walking him down the first baseline, being like, hey, guy, come on. Come on, buddy. Come on, buddy. Come on, buddy. Well, Wilson Contreras was not having that. After the game, he laid it all out and said,
I
get hit all the time. This guy's hit me 6 times. He said, next time, I'm coming after somebody.
Yeah.
Which is odd. Right, like I mean, that's Bounty Gate was a thing that happened in the NFL where somebody said, "I'm going to go after a guy," and they suspended people. As a catcher, you're standing right behind guys the entire game. If there was somebody who could say go after a person, it would be the catcher.
Sure.
He's standing right there. So the odds that he does this, pretty good, because the odds that he gets hit, nearly 100%. In the game, the following game, of course, Mizorowski, Jacob struck him out. Just blew it past him at 100+ and gave him the stink eye. And, you know, one guy's shaking his fist and the other guy's giving him the stink eye. Classic baseball style. It was fun to watch. I do get excited about a good baseball, you know, because they take the helmets off.
Did they have one from a couple teams last night?
Just last night. There was 4 players suspended for...
I think 2 got like 7-game suspensions.
Yep. Hard slide into second is what sort of ramped it up. And then guys start chirping, guys start talking, and... Yep, it is interesting to watch a guy wearing gloves and a helmet start throwing punches. You can tell that these guys are not trying to fight people because some of these guys are pretty big and could really lay a punch in, you'd think. But you don't really, in my lifetime, I don't remember a lot of those pitches, those connecting and actually turning into a fight. It's interesting.
Like hockey.
Yeah, it's exactly the opposite of hockey. It feels like WWF, where you want to swing hard enough to make them think you hit them. Because you want the crowd to go, whoa, but you don't actually want to make contact with you. If you're a pitcher and you broke your hand punching a guy, I bet that would be a problem. So they protect themselves a little bit.
Okay.
What else is happening in the world of sports? Well, Badgers, their season ended terribly for me as a fan. You know, like obviously the NCAA season is over, but the transfer portal officially opens the day after the NCAA tournament, which incidentally was won by Michigan.
Yes.
It was a good game, you know. Yeah. It was back and forth. It was back and forth.
Against UConn. Dan Hurley and UConn.
Dan Hurley had an opportunity there to...
Do 3 out of 4?
To win 3 out of 4. There was guys on that team that could have won 3 championships. Fell just a bit short. Michigan, to their credit, is the first team in the NIL era, right? It's a kind of a new era.
Yeah.
The first time that 5 transfers.
Oh, that's right.
Their entire roster was turned over completely from last year.
Yep.
Dusty May, their coach, did a fabulous job in getting this team ready.
There's a lot of like UCLA, UAB, Illinois. I think even grabbed somebody from there.
Yes, they did. Their roster was filled with everybody else's talent. Their best player was from UAB. You're right.
Yep.
They look great. They also had, coming off their bench, their first guy off the bench was a McDonald's All-American, one of the best freshmen in the country.
That helps.
It's the way to do it. There isn't the old way, we'll say the Kentucky way.
Sure.
Was the, let's get a freshman, let's win a championship. Doesn't work anymore. It doesn't, turns out, you need veterans. Just like, you know, having a 4-year guy in college is a huge advantage over a guy who's 6 months out of high school. It's clearly shown the correct way to do it. The Badgers, Wisconsin Badgers, are everybody's in the NIL portal. Nobody right. is building a. Nobody is building a roster anymore. You're not taking a guy
usually
and trying to keep him for 4 years, 5 years. That guy will transfer. Absolutely.
For the most part, wasn't it UConn? And he kept all those guys.
He kept
most of them.
He kept a couple. Yeah. He kept enough to get to the. Well, he was able to sell to his players, we have a chance to three-peat for a championship. Yeah, that is something that you can try to keep a guy around for. But the Badgers, unfortunately, are going to be missing a number of players from last year's roster. A couple of inconsequential guys dropped off the roster right after the season. Guys that might have been depth pieces, they're going to end up playing in some Division II or sure. a lesser Summit Conference or something and do pretty well, right? Unfortunately, this week showed up, John Blackwell is transferring. John Blackwell was all Big Ten. He was a junior, averaged 19 points a game. Him and Nick Boyd formed arguably the best backcourt in the Big Ten, one of the most experienced big backcourts in the country. He's transferring.
Yeah.
He wants to play where he can... you know, win a championship. He wants to play where he's going to be developed for the NBA. He's the best guard in the portal. He's absolutely not coming back to Wisconsin. He's going to end up wherever he ends up. I hope it's not in the Big Ten so we don't have to, like, I don't want him to go to Michigan. I don't want to, you know, they just won a championship, so I get it. I don't want to.
Yeah, they take transfers.
They should go to North Carolina. You know, go to North Carolina. Be the next North Carolina guard. I don't want to play John Blackwell.
You got a nice new coach there in North Carolina.
Yeah, the Mike Malone, former Nuggets coach.
Yep.
Yeah, they had like everybody. I believe it was there 1,300 transfers out of Division I basketball. Like, that was the number. It was 1,300 kids are taking the opportunity to change schools.
Sure.
There's 200, you know, out of 200 universities in Division I, it's a lot of turnover. Sure. Right? The other one is, and I'm going to get this name right, maybe, Alexis Bielaskakis. Gosh darn it, I was close. I tried real hard there.
Yes, you did.
I did. He was a freshman starter for the Badgers last year. He's transferring out. I really thought he was going to be
the guy.
Something, you know, the next guy. The only guy left from their entire roster that we recognize. Nolan Winter, Lakeville zone. He's the only guy left on that team. It'll be
because he doesn't want to travel, probably.
You know, why would you? You know, hey, some people like going to college. Some people like the university that they went to. Maybe he, you know, I don't know how and why people decide to transfer. I never had the opportunity to.
Money.
There's good money in being a good athlete in college now, as it turns out. Yeah. I missed that boat, man. So it'll be interesting.
Were you even on the boat at all?
I've seen a boat. Like, I've seen some boats. Man, is that it?
Yeah.
It's a pretty good show. Yeah. Nice job recording it, dude.
It was a full show.
It felt like a full show. It felt like work. Man, yeah, it really did. It was really great to do it, though. The Masters is this weekend.
Yay.
So that's fun if you're a golfer.
Okay.
I'm not.
I'm not either.
I've seen it.
I've heard about it.
It's fun. You know, it's good theater. It's fun to watch on TV if you've seen it. Everybody have a great weekend. Bye.